بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وذروا ظاهر الإثم وباطنه صدق الله العظيم. Most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has given us the tawfiq of listening for a little while some aspect that is pertaining to our tazkiyah, our islah, our reformation. These are talks of our akabir, buzughan-e-deen, ulama-e-kiram, mashayikh, the pious predecessors, the salaf-e-saliheen, who spend their lives in seeking the marifat of Allah, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They had the finger on the pulse of the ummah. They could detect the maladies the ummah was suffering from and the problems that the ummah went through, and also they provided solutions from Quran and Hadith for the ummah. So last week we were doing this topic that Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi had discussed years ago, in which at that time also he had mentioned the condition of the ummah. And as he mentioned that the more further away we are moving away from the era, the period of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the period of Nubuwat, we are going closer to Qiyamah, the more we are moving towards sin, ghaflat, heedlessness. Our minds have become, or we have become unmindful of our Islah, fikr of the Akhirat, trying to rectify ourselves. And with a heavy sigh he had mentioned, kisko kahe? Who can we speak to? Who can we discuss and explain to and direct? Because everybody seems to be engulfed and overwhelmed by a certain type of norm and fashion that everybody is doing it, the wrongs, so people don't feel it evil. Everybody becomes entrapped, enslaved in those sins. The environment has become such that sins has become part and parcel of our life. Allah forbid, Allah forgive us. So if somebody who is trying to rectify himself, he looks very, very rare and unique and alien-like. He looks out of place. Like I mentioned last week, in some family, if a young girl now wishes to don the parda and she wants to come into niqab and she's making that effort, but everybody else in that family, they're being hostile against her, they're not showing her the support and motivating her and encouraging her. Instead of encouraging her, they are passing disparaging remarks and making life difficult. So that Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahman says that if everybody is doing it right, doing something right, it becomes so easy for the person to follow. Like I mentioned, if everybody is reading Nafil Salat, or when we come to the masjid, if everybody is reciting Quran before Salah, then any person who comes and everybody, he watches everybody reading Quran, he himself will take the Quran Sharif and now begin to read. But if the environment is such that everybody is doing wrong, and the one person, now he's trying to do right, it becomes difficult for him. He looks for somebody who he can familiarize with and see somebody also doing the same thing, so he gets some company to do something good. So these are things that generally, as Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah says, there are certain sins and weaknesses that most of us, he said, one is the general masses, and sometimes even the learned people have also become neglectful regarding. And he said, there's a whole list. And outwardly it may seem these are very, very small, insignificant things. But if you and I ponder over these sins and the harms of these sins, and many of these are major sins, many of them are guna-i kabira, then we will realize that we also, we have fallen prey to these type of evils which we don't really pay so much attention to. If somebody tells us the harms of zina, all of us understand, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala protect us from zina. But we know the harms of zina. Eating pork, we know it is haram. Drinking alcohol, we know it is haram. But there are so many other things that we are engaged in and that we don't even realize it is a guna. So as Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah mentioned, that we are doing such things that the person does not even ponder and reflect, kya halal hai ya haram hai? Guna ka kaam hai ya sawab ka kaam hai? We're just doing the thing without even realizing what is the... Am I pleasing my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or am I displeasing my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So last week, amongst the many things that he has mentioned, he said the very first thing he mentioned was la yani bat, things which are fuzul, futile. There is no benefit for you in deen, nor even in your dunya. Futile. So some had mentioned min husni Islam al mar'i tarkuhu ma la yani. From the beauty of the Islam of a Muslim is he is abandoning those things which are la yani. La yani means fuzul. Fuzul means futile. There is no benefit for him whatsoever in those things. And I mentioned last week that if we ponder into our lives, from the morning till now, so many things we said, that doesn't even make sense. There was no dunya benefit also, let alone akhirat benefit. So many things we did also, absolutely futile. It makes no sense when we look back that I wasted my time even saying this or doing this. So la yani bat is something that many of us have fallen victim to, and therefore we have to remind ourselves, is there any benefit for me in this? Is there any dunya benefit also? Is there any akhirat benefit? So we should try and refrain from getting involved in futile things. And in society today, as I mentioned, the technology with the WhatsApp and things that go across, there's so many times we are wasting precious, precious moments in all futile and nonsensical talks. May Allah Ta'ala forgive us, may Allah guide us, may Allah protect us. These are small things in our eyes, but very significant in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second thing he mentioned, kisi musalman ke saath istihza, when we mock another Muslim. This also, we take it for granted. So we will joke, we'll pass a remark, we will mock at some person. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah, right in the first sentence he says, ye kabira guna hai. This is a kabira guna. It is a major sin. It is not something that should be treated lightly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the verse in Surah Hujurat, la yaskhar qawmun min qawm, that any group of people should not mock another group of people. Asa an yakunu khayran minhum. Perhaps the group who you are mocking, laughing at and teasing and making fun of, they may turn out to be better than you. So this is something that we all have to realize and ponder and reflect over. Istihza ki mana ye hai ki kisi ki ihanat aur tahqeer aur uske aib ka izhar is tarah kiya jaye jisse log hase. In other words, to pick on some person, to humiliate him, ihanat, tahqeer, you make him feel, you embarrass him, you make him feel low, you pick on him, you denigrate him. You pick on such a fault of his, some weakness of his, you make it apparent to others, and everybody starts to laugh at him. So this is what you say, mocking a person. This is a kabira guna. Kisi ki chalne, phirne, utne, baitne, bolne wagaira ki nakal utarna. When you're mocking some person, sometimes you mimic him, and you imitate his manner of walking, his manner of speaking, and everybody laughs at that person. Sometimes a person has a natural weakness in his body, physical weakness, and he walks in a certain way, or he speaks in a certain way. That's his lehja, that's his, the way he speaks. So we start to imitate and we mock him, and we poke fun at him. We're trying to make him feel embarrassed and low and humiliate him. This is a kabira guna. Now let us look at ourselves, and how often we do this in our circles, that we look down upon a person. Uske kisi qol aur fi'l par hasna. We laugh at any action of his or any statement of his. Our mashayikh have mentioned the nuqsan, the harms of mocking a person. They mention that dalilu kibri nafs wa ihtiqar al akharin. When a person mocks at another person, this is a dalil, a proof, that this man who is mocking somebody else, he thinks of himself to be very great and superior. The fact that I am mocking at somebody, laughing at some person, this shows that I am regarding myself to be higher than him and superior to him, and he is lower than me. Now see, this is the mazarrat, the nuqsan of istihza and mocking some person. Also, tariqun musirun ila nar wa ghadabir rahman. By mocking some person, you are actually paving your way towards Jahannam. Allah's hukam, la yaskhar qawmun min qawm, that no person should mock another person. Asa yakunu khayran minhum. In fact, after that, Allah even mentioned Nisa, وَلَا نِسَاءٌ مِّن نِسَاءٍ عَسَىٰ أَيَّكُنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُنْ. That women also should not mock others. Perhaps the ladies you are mocking, then they may turn out to be better than you in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So none of us has a right to mock any person, to mimic any person, to make fool and jest about him, so that people have a good hearty laugh and he is embarrassed, he is humiliated. There are various verses in the Quran similar, where some mufassirin say this refers to mocking, وَيْلُ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ, to make tana, to poke fun, to keep on, as we say, cherchar the person, to irritate him, so you are just mocking him, making life miserable for him. He's at work, you are laughing at him. He goes to school and college, you are laughing at him. Anywhere, even in the masjid sometimes, we don't realize we are hurting the person's feelings. Yes, one is to be cheerful and look at every the elderly, to talk to them, the young ones, to make them feel happy. That's another matter. But to keep on mocking the person where you're taking out his fault so others look at around him, begin to laugh at him, that is not permissible. In one verse, although it pertains, generally Mufassirin say it refers to a kafir on the day of Qiyamah, when his nama a'mal will be presented to him, and he will say, oh, la yughadiru saghiratan wala kabiratan illa ahsaha. This book hasn't left out a single sin. Everything is recorded. Kabira and saghira. وَقَالُوا مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ. That's what they will say. وَقَالُوا this. مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ. Look at this book. لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. It has recorded every single action of mine. One kabira guna too is written. One saghira guna also. Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma used to say in this verse, لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً. He says saghira here refers to mocking some person. And kabira is when you mock at the person and then you laugh aloud. In Arabic it's called qahqaha, where you have a hearty laugh and everybody around begins to chuckle and laugh at that person. He says this refers to such people. May Allah protect us. Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, if I am given so much of money and wealth and dinars and coins, just in lieu of mimicking some person, imitating him, to make him feel low and to denigrate him, I'm not prepared, I'm not happy to get so much money in lieu of mocking some person. Because to mock some person, to imitate his manner of walking or his talking or his actions, that is going to make him feel bad and low. And so it is a serious sin. So if somebody is going to pay me so much just to mock some person by mimicking him, Rasulullah said, this does not please me, I'm not happy with it. Hazrat Hassan Rahmatullah Ali used to say, or radiallahu used to say, that the people who mock others, he mentioned a, as the Mufti Shafi Sahib has mentioned a riwayat here, which comes in At-Targhib At-Targhib, in which he says, on the day of Qiyamah, all those people in this world who mocked others, those people in this world who mocked others, on the day of Qiyamah, a call will call out, one door of Jannah will call out to them, come to enter here. So they will run towards the door, and when they go to the door, the door will close. So they'll turn back. Then suddenly another door will call out to them. They'll come through here. And they will come towards the door so happily. And suddenly that door will close. Then a third door will do the same. And a fourth door. Until all the doors of Jannah will call out to them that come enter through me. And as they come there, the door will be shut. Finally they become so despondent, full of despair, and they have no hope whatsoever. To such an extent that then when the door of Jannah will call them, they will not even go. Why? They will realize now we are being mocked at. The same thing they did in the dunya is to mock people and make a joke of them. This is what will happen to them in the day of Qiyamah. Imagine, you thinking you're getting into Jannah, and as you go, the door is closed. You go back, you call again, you go, the door is closed. May Allah protect all of us. May Allah give us the shu'ur, the understanding, and the ihsas. We take all these things so lightly, so insignificant, yet in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is so important. So this was, the first one was la yani baat, futile things, and the second one was to mock people. Then the third one he mentions, abjoi. Abjoi is similar to find faults. Nukta chini, as we say. You look for nitty-gritty things to make the person, to make him feel helpless, useless. You look, you search for faults in him. How often a person is such a good person, But because you got enmity for him, you got hasad for him, you will scrutinize him from head to toe to find something wrong in him. Our Ustaz Azizman Abdul Hamid Sahab, Zahmad Barakatum, used to always say that sometimes you got a small tarkar remark here. You're eating it fat. And everything else of you is so perfect. The person, manna, just one mark there on your kurta. See, you can't find anything else, but you'll find one mark here. So there is tajassus. The hadith is, لا تجسسوا لا تحسسوا. Most ulama say it means the same thing. Some have given a small difference between the two, which basically means don't spy on others by searching for faults. Yani, unki uyub ko talash karna. Talash means to search. You go and search for the faults. Aib joyi. You look to find some wrong in the person. So this also, Rasulullah once ascended the minbar and he addressed the Sahaba, and amongst them he said that, O people who have recited the kalima, but iman has not yet penetrated into the deep recesses of the heart. In there he gave some advice, and amongst the advice he mentions that, unki poshide uyub ke peeche na paro. Don't go behind and search for a hidden fault of some person. Some weakness. Now you go and you probe into his life just to take out that one fault, and then you want to broadcast to others. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, in fact, if I recall, Rasulullah himself once addressed the Kaaba and praised the Kaaba. O Kaaba, Allah has honored you and Allah has given you such significance. In a similar way, Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma also, when he one ek martaba Baytullah par nazar dali, he looked at the Kaaba Sharif, farmaya, ay Baytullah, teri shan kitni buland aur teri izzat kitni bari hai. How great is your position, your status in the eyes of Allah, and so significant you are, how great you are, how honored you are. Then he said, lekin mu'min ki izzat wa hurmat Allah ke nazik tujhse bhi ziyada bari hai. But the honor, the sacredness, the sanctity of a believer, the honor of a believer is far greater than yours. Imagine Kaaba Sharif. We search and we wait for that opportunity to gaze at the Kaaba. Allah give all of us tawfiq and the ability to go to Haramain Sharifain, Hajj and Umrah, with ikhlas, maqbooliyat, correct intentions, solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for name and fame, not to do shopping there, not for touring, all these are signs of Qiyamah, but to go really to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah accept the Hajj of all the Hujjaj who gave me, Allah make them do the Hajj correctly and properly. May Allah protect them from all types of fitan and fasad. So here he says, lekin a mu'min, a one believer, because he's got iman, he is so significant in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that his honor is more than that of the Kaaba even. In fact, in the other riwayat, Rasulullah himself made tawaf of the Kaaba. And then he addressed the Kaaba. And he said, O Kaaba, laqad sharrafak. Allah has honored you. Allah has given you such respect and sanctity. And then Rasulullah mentioned, but the mu'min, his significance, yeah, he is more greater than you. And Rasulullah then mentioned, this is mentioned al-maqasid al-hasana in the kitab al-maqasid al-hasana. Rasulullah then says in the riwayat that it is easier for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to tolerate the Kaaba being destroyed, but not the sanctity of an honor of a mu'min be taken away. When a mu'min is dishonored, no? That is something which is very, very grave in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here again, aib joy, to try and find faults of our Muslim brothers, we should not be doing. Man satar musliman, satarahu Allahu yawm al-qiyamah. You cover, conceal the fault of your Muslim brother, Allah will cover your faults on the day of Qiyamah. Allah will not embarrass you in front of the whole Ummah, in front of the whole world on the day of Qiyamah. As Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah says, aaj kal ye kabira guna bhi ek wabal hai. Wabal ki tarah aam ho gaya hai. Awam, khawas, sab usme mubtala ho gaye. The general masses, the khas people, ulama, every person, is it? Everybody seems to be caught up into all this thing. May Allah protect us. May Allah forgive us. Logo ke poshida uyub ki talash, aur koi baat mil jawe, to uska charcha karna, ruswa karna, adat mein dakhil ho gaya. So he said, the moment you find one fault, and I said, because of all the social media we have, all it takes one button, we write, and we forward it, and so many others are also becoming involved in it. We find one fault of a Muslim brother or Muslim sister, and we just want to circulate it. We just want to make it become viral. Instead of covering the fault of the person, it has become an adat. So once something becomes a practice, an adat, a custom, a habit, then to give it up is very, very difficult, especially if society at large, every person is involved in it. So everybody, you see, most of the whole day, what are you doing? It's the same thing. I mean, you can't be reading so much Quran and Hadith in your phone. It's possible. Person reading Quran Sharif from his phone, or he's checking some Hadith, or he's searching something, or something important. Or he's just checking the grocery list, what he has forgot to get for the day before he goes home, whatever it is. There are benefits. But generally, I mean, all the time, you're going to sleep at night again. What are you seeing? Allah forgive me, Allah forgive all of us. So sometimes, one small thing somebody says, it stays into your mind, into your heart, and what's going to happen? You're going to think evil of the person. And he mentioned in other places also, that instead of covering the fault, and even making tahqiq of it, and so many doesn't even concern us, so why must we probe into that? Why must we search for somebody's fault? We get happy when we find a fault of a Muslim brother or sister today. Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in will make satari of the person. You know that Sahabi who made hijrat from Makkah to Medina just to get married to that woman. She said, you coming to, you want to marry me? Well, I'm going to Medina. You come all the way there, then only I'll marry you. And he did it. But Sahaba did not expose the name of this Sahabi who did it. Because hijrat was supposed to be solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah's command. Lillahi wa li rasuli. Not for any dunya purposes, to get married or to get some business there. So Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in didn't even mention the name of the Sahabi. Till today we don't know which Sahabi it was. He covered the fault of the next person. The next one, he mentions, chup kar kisi ki baate sunna, eavesdropping. The person puts his ear there, he's pretending he's looking somewhere else, but meanwhile he's listening to the whole conversation here. Man tasamma'a. The word tasamma'a. Sami'a in Arabic means to listen. Tasamma'a, meaning you put your ears there and you try to eavesdrop to see what's happening, what they're saying. In the hadith of Rasulullah on the day of Qiyamah, molten copper that's melted, hot, boiling copper will be placed in the ears of such people. May Allah save us. See, we don't even realize the consequences, the harms of these sins because it has become so insignificant in the societies we are living today. Now all of us become involved in this. Those things that don't concern you, don't worry about it. That person has got some private masala he's asking. So many times somebody is talking to some alim. And are we going to stand near him so that we may hear what's happening? Oh, this happened, that happened. So many times some person, two friends are talking. They got their own business matter they're talking. It gives us no right, yes. If it's something that few people are friends are standing and accepted every day we talk like, that's something else. But how often somebody has got some important thing that he's discussing. So we're not standing right next to them, slightly away, and we're pretending as though we're busy doing something, you take out your phone, but you are listening to all the conversation. Eavesdropping, this is also haram. May Allah protect us. Then he said, bila ijazat kisi ke makan mein jhankna ya dakhil hona. Without permission to peep inside somebody's house or to enter his house without permission. There are so many ahadith and so many incidents in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sahabi comes and Rasulullah teaches him that you must make salam and then you ask permission. A'adkhulu, may I enter? We just barge into the home. Or so many times we're going to visit some person, so already from outside we're peeping inside. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to take a knife or some sharp instrument and I would wish to take this thing and throw at his eyes and burst his eyes even for him peeping inside without permission. That is why when you go in tabligh, when you go in gush, amongst the adab, that before we go for gush, what does they tell us? That when we go out, the manner in which we should go out, we go in pairs, etc. And when we stand by the house of the person, either on the right hand side of the door or the left hand side, with our gaze is down. Don't peep into the man's house. So, bila ijazat kisi ke makan mein jhankna ya dakhil hona, this also is something that's taken lightly. It's not correct for us to do so. Then nisbat ki wajah se kisi ko taana dena. Because of a person's lineage. He comes from a certain group, a certain family. So we find that also something to find some fault in him, and you begin to laugh at him or mock at him. This is totally, totally haram. Rasulullah mentioned that asbab or rishta, jo dunya mein maruf hai, kisi ke liye gali nahi. Tum sab aulad adam, ek dusre ke qareeb ho. Kisi ko kisi par koi fazilat nahi, bajuz fazilat deen aur amal salih. If we have any superiority over any person, it is only because of taqwa. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The most honorable in the eyes of Allah are those who have the most taqwa. The more taqwa you have, the more you are closer to Allah Ta'ala. Otherwise, color does not give any person any significance over the other, whether you're white or black. Whether you're Arab or non-Arab, which tribe you come from. May Allah forgive us. Alhamdulillah, to a certain extent, it's dying off now, but previously in our own country, he's from there and he's from there. So he is like this and she is like this. And caste and tribes and families, and we make the person feel so terrible in our presence because we're looking low upon him. We are somebody else. This is not what Islam preached. Islam showed us unity, oneness, and we showed the beauty of how many person accepted Islam. And when we explained to him, he said, see, when you came here, you saw in the masjid, whether it's black or white or whatever color, we're all standing together. Rich, poor, this is Islam. It shows unity. But the moment you start looking down, and we have these things amongst us, that he's from that family, and he's like this, and this background, from India, he comes from this gam and that gam. My one friend went to India, so they asked him, by which gam? He got so tired, he don't know which gam, he said, bubble gam. So, it's not something, yes, sometimes, why Allah has got tribes? So, for pehchan. Just to know, you can know this is my family, this is my father, this is my mother, I come from this family. Otherwise, everybody is the same, and then you don't know which family you come from. Everybody got the same surname. Difficult. So, that's just for recognizing one another. But closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, significance is only through your taqwa, your iman, your amal salihah. So even if a person is doing a certain type of business, a trade, you don't look down upon him. Never look down upon him. In the eyes of Allah, that same person who is collecting the stool of people and cleaning your street, believe me, you don't know what ta'alluq he has with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then as the Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahman mentioned, gali, galoch, or fahish kalami. Gali, galoch, to swear, to be abusive. This is something we all have to control, our zuban. Rasulullah Sahib mentioned, may yadmalli ma bayna lahyayhi ma bayna rijlayhi, adman lahu al jannah. Whoever gives me guarantee of protection of two things, his tongue and his private parts, I guarantee him entry into Jannah. Allah Ta'ala had informed Rasulullah Sahib this. That you guarantee protection of your tongue, and this is something we become very, very unmindful of. Rasulullah was never fahish, not mutafahish. He was never obscene, never lewd. And he didn't make himself say such things in the company of others just to make a conversation or to become the center of attraction. Sometimes a person forcefully says indecent, obscene things with his friends, so that now he gains some. People laugh and get happy and say, oh, so he becomes the central figure. Rasulullah never did such things. Never offensive. In fact, he even mentioned, don't even swear the deceased. Don't even swear an animal. So hadith mein hai, Sibabul muslimi fusuq. When you swear a Muslim person, this is fisq. This is a sin. You're a fasiq. وَقِتَالُهُ كُفْرٌ. Kill a Muslim person, it's kufr. So sibab, gali galoch, is something again. One sahabi, as Jabir radiallahu anhu says, when Rasulullah, when I became a Muslim, and Rasulullah gave me some advice. In fact, he took a pledge for me. He says, that don't, kisi ko gali na do. Don't ever swear any person. He said, the moment I heard this, my lifelong, I never swore any person, never swore any animal even, not even a camel or anything. And then he said, any good deed, don't think it to be low and insignificant. Kisi neki ko mamuli aur haqir samajh kar na choro. You think, oh, it's a small thing. So you leave it out. Oh, 33 times subhanallah, nothing. So you leave it out. No, don't think of any action in Sharia. No matter how big or small it is, we have no right to think it to be small, because when you think it to be small, then slowly, slowly you stop doing that action. Believe me, we do not know which action in the eyes of Allah is acceptable. Look at the book of Hadith, it is mind-boggling. We look for something big, the presented. Comes in the Hadith, a person was walking and all he removed was a huge branch of a tree which was causing takleef to the people. He just moved it. With some effort, he managed to move it. On that, Allah gave him Jannah. That woman who was a prostitute gave the thirsty dog water to drink. On that, Allah gave her Jannah. Shah Muhaddis Dehlawi, or one of the people from his family, very great Muhaddis, Shah Ishaq Dehlawi, Rahmatullah Ali, great giant Hadith, Quran, Hadith, Deen, different caliber. He wrote tons and tons of works. Somebody had seen him after he passed away. In his dream, mashallah, he got Jannat in the dream. So they asked him, how did you go? What was it? So much Hadith and all you must have taught. That's why Allah Ta'ala gave you. He said, Allah Ta'ala didn't even look at all that. Allah only looked at one action. Which action? What was it? He said, one day I was busy with my work and one fly came in. All it did, it began to drink from that ink, from the ink pot. They should have ink pot and they should write with that pen with the feather. So he said, I saw this makki, wo chus rahi thi. He was drinking that roshnai, that ink. To maine usko chhod diya. I said, leave, let it eat its rizq. It is eating its rosy. So I left it. On that Allah forgave me. We do not know which. لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا. Don't even think of low of any action. ولو أن تلقى أخاك بوجه طليق. Even meeting your Muslim brother with a smiling face is also something very significant. And that's the next thing that he told him. That when you meet your Muslim brother, meet him cheerfully. And then he said that lift your pants above your ankles. In fact, he told him to write till nisfu saq. But obviously, in the other hadith, if you can't raise your pants to so high, then lower it, but it must be above your ankles. Our pants, our kurta, whatever is coming from top, we must make sure, not only in salah, even out of salah, at all times, it must be above your ankles. Above your ankles. And we should be mindful. Whether you're working in the corporate world, whether you're an accountant and CA, whatever you are, you should not be embarrassed. There is noor in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All that is requires a little bit of encouragement. Little bit, that's all, himmat. Little bit of himmat, and once it comes into your life, then it's normal. Then you don't even worry about who's watching me and who sings. Let the sunnah become attraction for others. People might mock it. In fact, some Muslim might mock it, and then again, that is bordering on kufr. When you mock any sunnah, it's a very, 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 very serious thing. We don't realize. See, that's also another thing. We laugh at some person in hijab or somebody's beard or somebody's pagri or something. But in the end of the day, we are causing nuqsan to our own lives, our own selves. So this is what Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah had mentioned. Then gali galoch or fahash kalam karna. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like this. And then one more he mentioned here, and the next we will continue the rest, inshaAllah. Isi kisi insan ya janur par lanat. To curse any animal, to curse any human being, this is not permissible. When you're saying the curse of Allah be on a person, what is the meaning of la'na in Arabic? It means that you are saying, may you become far away from the mercy of Allah. So you're hoping that this man must be destroyed. Because you are hoping for him, he must not enjoy the mercy of Allah. That's the meaning of curse. لَيْسَ الْمُؤْمِنُ بِالطَّعَانِ وَلَا اللَّعَانِ وَلَا الْفَاحِشِ وَلَا الْبَذِيِّ. A mu'min, it is not within his shan to be a person who curses all the time. Ta'an, find faults. Fahish, immoral. Badi, lured. He's obscene. He's not a mu'min. A mu'min can never be like this. So, here also, kisi insan par ya janwar par laanat karan. In fact, the hadith of Rasulullah mentions that when you curse a person, so the curse goes towards the person who you cursed. If he is genuinely, genuinely deserving of the curse, then it falls upon him. Otherwise, it does not go upon him. And then it looks for a way out. So it goes towards the heavens, and the doors of the heavens close, so it comes down again. Comes towards the earth, the doors of the earth are closed. Goes on the right, it's sent back. Goes to the left, it's sent back. Then it comes to the person who cursed. Falls on him. So who's going to suffer? You yourself. May Allah forgive me, may Allah protect me, protect all of us. Be very, la'natullah, la'natullah alaykum. Very easy. And parents especially. Mawlana Rahmatullah Ali, you should mention, we were young that time and we heard this talk from him. That there was a mother and a daughter, may Allah forgive them. They had come to him one day and the mother was complaining about the daughter. And the daughter was being a bit hard on the mother. There was some problem. She was not listening to the mother. So this Mawlana was trying to explain to them that this is what you should be doing, what you shouldn't do. And in that whole discussion, the mother then suddenly got so frustrated and she cursed the daughter, say, Allah give you cancer, man. Mawlana said, please don't say all. In any case, they went away. That same mother phoned him a few months later. Mawlana, she was crying. What happened? She said, my daughter got cancer. Now we need some dua, we need some water. So the child also sometimes makes you angry, upset. As a parent, don't curse the child. Instead of cursing, make a good dua. May Allah make you the wali of the zamana. May Allah make you the most pious person of the zamana. Oh, you lost nothing. Even if you say it in an angry way too, no problem. May Allah make you the best maulana, the best qari, and the best hafiz also. Make good duas. Make good duas. We will see, inshallah, the fruit of the duas you're making. But if you're going to curse the person, then you will suffer. We ourselves will suffer. May Allah give me tawfiq and hidayah to make amal. This is choti choti baat hai. But in fact, it is bari baat hai. It's a very, very, very weighty and significant things. So many we mentioned small things, like small topics. But if you go back and ponder, I must not mock some person. I must not find his fault. I must not carry tales. I must not denigrate any person. I must not be abusive. I must not hurt somebody's feelings. I must not spy and look for faults of the next person. Inshallah, if you try to do all these things, then you will get the qalbi salim. Then islah takes place. Then we will enjoy the barakat of our tahajjud and our been and chash and ishraq and tilawat and dhikr. Inshallah, when we do all these things, then we are connecting easily to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka.